fighting for America.
It's time to turn this country around.
We took the power away from the Washington-based special interests, and we put it in the hands of the Wisconsin taxpayers.
The people of Texas have spoken, and I am deeply honored to be your next governor.
Fighting for Idaho.
First, I'm not going to give a long speech. And second, the campaign is over.
Fighting for you.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America.
Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Voices Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Kevin Miller in the Morning. Let's get right to it. Senator Jim Risch with us. Congratulations, Senator.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a good morning. The day after that, yesterday was my... Vicki and I have been married 46 years. And
right.
This was our 34th election together. So we've been at it a while. And counting primaries and generals, we've been... We've done 34 of them. So
you are pretty descriptive of over the years how your kids have developed over these elections, if I recall from your speech last night.
Yeah, we had. I said last night when we took the stage that when I walked up the stairs, I was thinking that it was 40 years ago last night that Vicki and I walked up those stairs the first time. I was running for Ada County prosecuting attorney and got elected in 1970. So 44 years ago the first trip up the stairs, and we'd been married 2 years, a little over 2 years, 2 years and 4 months, and we had little James who was there last night,
right.
And so he was a year old at the time, but we look at those pictures, you know, and it, like all families, you know, you have pictures over the years, and see they have different T-shirts on from different races and what have you.
Indeed. Last night, while you're up there, by the way, you know, you just got reelected. Is this your last campaign?
You know, I don't. I'm not ready to announce that I'm running for reelection, but okay. if the decision were made today, I would be announcing that. First of all, there's a lot of work to be done back there. I think I've done so much here in Idaho. It's I can take Idaho's message back there and deliver it pretty well and pretty effectively. So I seem to be tolerating it pretty well. My health's good. Enjoy it. So, I mean, 6 years is a long time. We'll see where we are. But I'm certainly not adverse to another term, if that's what you're asking.
Exactly. Senator, here at 580 KIDO, you said something to me off the air, if you could share it with our listeners, that Idaho is still Idaho. Was that the message last night?
Well, it's interesting, Kim, because it's a lesson that I think has to be relearned every 2 years. I mean, you look at the campaign we just went through. I mean, they've gotten that. That's the one downer about all this stuff is if you get up and have a civil discussion about the issues. We disagree. I mean, we disagree with the other side on the size of government, the function of government, how much control it should have over us. I mean, these are legitimate disputes. There's people who like that. They really believe that they're smart enough that if they can just get elected to office, they can run people's lives a lot better than people can run their own lives. And they're sincere about it. They look around at people and say, oh, this is so terrible, you know, and things are so bad. If you just give me the power, I can change this, you know. And so we have legitimate disputes. The problem is just as we've seen just now through this last election, is it's become so hateful and so vitriolic that the civil discussion's really gone out the window. I mean,
yeah.
People, I think, on each side of the aisle used to get along a lot better. But when you start calling your opponent a liar and when you accuse them of felonies, essentially, of taking money and voting because people give you money to vote that way, I mean, that's a felony. And we're all human beings. You can't accuse somebody of that. And then when it's all over, smile and pat each other on the back and say, oh, this was so much fun. It was wonderful, you know. And this is not a sporting event. You know, people sometimes... they compare it to a sporting event where when it's over, the people shake hands and smile and it's all wonderful. In a sporting event, there's rules. There are very specific rules, and if you're a gentleman or a lady, you follow those rules, and when it's over, it's a fair competition. In this, of course, there are no rules, and people, what amazes me, too, is I've seen people who walk onto the field and who are really good people, ordinary people, good church-going Christian people who learn to love and respect their fellow human beings. They stand up and announce for public office, and the first thing they do is start hurling insults at their opposition. How can this be? How can people be like that?
How can you govern?
Well, the campaign's different than governance. There's no question about it. But in any event, it's interesting. And Idaho is Idaho. I mean, if you look back over the last 6 weeks or so, and you look at the campaigns and the ads that have been run, and the other side has been telling us how bad off we are and how miserable we are and what a terrible life we have here in Idaho, voters said yesterday, no, we're not. And they do that every 2 years. And so I don't – the other side's probably – they probably won't. But they're, before you can fix a problem, you got to admit you've got a problem. And the message that they have just – it didn't work yesterday, and it hasn't worked in Idaho as long as I've been in this business. So we'll see. I mean, we've got about four – print publications in Idaho that are very left-leaning, particularly in their editorial rooms. Their heads have got to just be exploding this morning. One of them, and I don't remember which one, I don't read that stuff. It's just not – if someone criticizes what I do, I want to hear it. I want to see it. If it's a legitimate, well-thought-out, reasonable dissection of the issue. But if it's just the vitriolic, hateful, oh, he only voted that way because he hates fill in the class, I don't want to hear it. And that's what you get from some of these people. And so I don't read that stuff. But one of my staff did clip a piece and give it to me, and it was written within the last year and a half, and I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of those far left people, and the title of it was "With Voters Like This, Why Bother?" And it was despondent over the fact that we Idahoans are Idahoans, and right. He just couldn't comprehend how we could think the way we think. And but Idaho is Idaho, and I think most everybody lives here because they want to live here.
I would agree with you. Let's go to Denise, who's been very patient at 580 KIDO for Senator Risch. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator Risch. I'm quite pleased with the election results yesterday, but I have a question for you. How much are you, Senator McConnell was talking about working with the Democrats, and Congressman Simpson was just talking about that. How much are you willing to compromise our constitutional liberties and freedom? Because that's what happens when we compromise with Democrats?
Well, my answer to that is I'm not willing to compromise anything when it comes to our constitutional freedoms or what have you. As you probably know, they rank me as the most conservative member of the United States Senate, and that's because two things are on my mind when I analyze a vote, and that is, number one, is it constitutional? And number two, what's this going to do to the financial condition of the country? And those are important issues. And when it comes to compromising, I think probably what they're talking about more is governance. Now, the fact is the Republicans now have both houses of Congress, and like it or not, we have to govern. And so we're going to wind up having to govern. And this the government that we inherit is not something we like. It's not something that we want. It's a $17 trillion indebted institution that's got to get changed, and we're going to do that. But, look, I'm dying to compromise. I've said that since I went back there. I said, look, I want to compromise. So it's compromise that actually has gotten us to the $3.8 trillion that we spend every year. It's compromise that's going to get us out of that. And so you say, let's compromise. How much less will we spend this year? When you put that question on the table, I look at you like you have three heads. I mean, there is no compromise when you're going the other direction, and they're going to have to they are going to have to compromise. So what I would recommend to everybody, and and is get out Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution and read it again. Because back in Washington, D.C., I'm not sure they even know that that section exists. But what Article 1, Section 8 is it specifies the it specifies the reach of the federal government and says beyond that, the power belongs to the people and it belongs to the states. And I believe it, and that's how I vote, and urge everybody to do the same.
Denise, thank you for the call. Senator, what does this mean for those of us that follow politics, that the Republicans have control of the Senate? What will that mean for you? What will that mean for the state? Do positions change at all?
Well, positions don't change, but certainly what we're able to do back there as we discuss issues is we now set the agenda. I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this, but the United States Senate is very much different than for instance, the Idaho legislature. No bill goes to the floor of the Senate unless it goes through Harry Reid's office, and there is no way to get it to the floor of the Senate without one man, Harry Reid, saying, yes, we're gonna take up this vote. So as a result of that, the kind of things that we are voting on are very different than the kinds of things that we're going to be vote on. Let me give you a couple of really specific examples. Keystone Pipeline's been a huge issue for us. Harry Reid won't let us vote on it. He wouldn't let us run an amendment on it. Now that Mitch McConnell's going to be the majority leader, that's going to be one of the first things up. It's going to pass. It's going to pass handily. The president, it's probably going to pass in a veto-proof way. And so here's something that everybody wanted, yet Harry Reid wouldn't let us either debate it or vote on it. And so that's going to change. Another one that that we're going to talk about and very quickly is repatriating U.S. funds that are overseas. The corporations that operate internationally now, which many, many do, and many of them are American corporations. They make a profit overseas, and they can't bring the profit home because they get walloped with the highest tax rate on the face of the earth after paying a tax in the country that they earned it in. And so we Republicans have been saying, bring that money home. There's trillions of dollars over there. Pay some amount of tax on it, probably a relatively small tax, but pump it into the American economy and create jobs with it, distribute it to stockholders, whatever. But don't leave it overseas. Bring it home. It is only capital, working capital, that makes a country function and gives us the quality of life that that we want.
We go to our friend Craig in Boise for Senator Risch at 580 KIDL. Hey, Craig.
Hi there. Hey, Senator Risch. You again came from the district that used to represent me in my district out here in Southwest. And between you and Senator Fulcher, I'm proud to say that I live in this area. The one concern I had was the timidity of the Republican Party. And I think at least from your perspective, you've answered the question that action needs to be taken. The one concern I do have on that side is that just because there's a win, I would like to see the Republicans not either be too timid or at the same time get too egoistic about it, remain humble, focus on the economy, again, as you were talking about, focus on what's good for the people of the United States. Because it seems when there's money available, a lot of problems have a tendency to go away. Because people do well, they're more satisfied, they can find more success. So I hope that's the direction that the Congress will go in this coming next 2 years and provide a good springboard for the presidential election coming up.
Well, you know, that's a really good speech, it needs to be repeated in Washington, D.C. There is a sweet spot. And you have to find that sweet spot. And what is the sweet spot you're looking for where you do govern and you govern the way your philosophical and political beliefs are, and yet at the same time not get so arrogant or overreach to the point where you get thrown out? I say to my friends back there all the time that are trying to do this, that, or the other thing, I say, look, no matter what, if we ever get in charge, and I know because I did this in Idaho, if we ever get in charge, we have got to govern. If you don't govern, they'll throw you out of there so quick it'll make your head spin. People expect a government that is responsive to them, but yet does no more for them than absolutely necessary, doing things that people can't do for themselves.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Quickly, back to Senator Risch. Senator, your thoughts on Pastor Saeed and his wife Nagma Devadini?
Well, you know, first of all, let me say that the administration really, really wants a deal with Iran. We've seen that in the past to the point where I and many, many, many other people have been incredibly unhappy and critical of the way the administration has approached this. You wonder whether they really understand the kind of people that they're dealing with. But in any event, having said that, I'm going to continue to keep the pressure on for Pastor Abedini. It needs to be done. If I had anything to say about it, he'd be free right now because those people would not have gotten one penny of the money that was tied up without releasing him. So the bad news is I'm afraid the administration is not going to make a very good deal with the Iranians. The good news is we're going to press them really hard that when they get to the deal, that it's got to include the three Americans, including Pastor Abedini, one of my constituents who needs to be free.
Quickly to Owen Eagle for Senator Risch at 580 KIDO.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. Senator Risch, congratulations on last night's victory to all of the candidates. If last night was a horse race, I think the Democrats would be headed for the glue factory about today. But I have a question for you. I don't look for President Obama to modify his stance on illegal immigrants, and I do look for him to grant amnesty quickly to about 30 million. What my question is what are you prepared to do when that happens? And I'll just listen to your answer.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. You know, I've been reading the same predictions that you have, and I guess the ultimate answer is going to be it depends on what he does. Now, the chief executive does have, with executive authority, the ability to do some things, but I have no doubt that if it's an overreach, and I suspect very strongly that it is going to be an overreach, that there is going to be a legislative reaction to that.
Okay, one more call for Senator Risch. We go to Ryan in Meridian. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, this is a follow-up to the last question. That individual actually took my question. When you say an overreach, what specifically does the president have the power to do when it comes to immigration, and what specific legislative action are you willing to take?
Well, let me say that what power the president has is just what he's had all along, and that is this administration is the first administration in the history of America that has said, well, look, we're going to enforce some laws, and we're not going to enforce other laws. And that's how he operates as an executive. He has the authority. Indeed, he's supposed to have the constitutional mandate that he executes. That's what an executive does. The laws that are enacted by the first branch of government, the people's branch of government, the legislative branch. And we have very clear laws on immigration. They're on the books. They're there. They're black and white. They should be enforced. But he has specifically said he is not going to enforce the law under the following specific circumstances. This is a very, very dangerous precedent to set in the United States, where you have the executive branch very much overruling what the law of the country is. Whether you like the law or whether you don't like the law, we are a people of laws, and we have to live with those laws.
Well, I would agree, but again, what legislative action is the Congress willing to take to stop it?
Well, I think that there's at least some members of Congress, including myself, that would be very much in favor of and will probably take a run at reversing anything he tries to do that's illegal.
All right, thank you.
All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. Senator, thank you.
Kevin, thank you. Enjoyed being here. It's a good morning in Idaho. I have found that every morning when you wake up after Election Day is a good morning to wake up if you're a Republican.
Well, Senator, God bless. Take care.
All right. Thanks so much, Kim. Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, men.
I'm ADKIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Time to start your day with action, excitement, adventure, enthusiasm, and Dave Burnett.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you, Dave?
I'm good.
You're good. You don't sound good.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
You just say you sound kind of guarded there. Do you miss me being in the building? We didn't have our pregame talk. Are you preoccupied? What's going on?
Just busy doing the job, what they pay me, the money, the big bucks they pay me to do. Just trying to get that all in here before we start here.
So you're running behind?
Yes, a little bit.
I hate it when that happens because, you know, you sit back here and, you know, you try and do this and try and do that. Whatever happened when we just had one job in life? You know what I mean?
I don't know that I've ever worked that way.
Yeah, just one job where, well, you had one job before.
Okay.
You know, when you just do something, maybe it was your first job, you know, working after school. You just did one thing, right?
Nope. Worked on a dairy farm. There was not one thing to do.
Well, that's just one thing, right?
Yep.
You milk the cows.
Yep, that's it.
Well, wait a minute.
Huh? Have you ever worked on a dairy farm?
Nope.
Okay, then you know it's not just one thing. Yeah. It's everything from bucking bales to shoveling the cow poo to...
That's one job, Dave.
Is it?
That's one job.
Hoeing beans.
I'm trying to help you. Work with me here. Work with me.
Burning ditches.
Oh, it's going to be this type of morning.
I'm just telling you.
It's going to be rough.
I don't know that I've ever had a job where I just did one thing. I don't think I have.
Then you've never lived.
Well, that's a good chance of that.
So I was trying to help you out, but then I guess you're an expert at doing all these things at once.
I'm an expert at nothing. Nothing at all. Just ask anyone.
Let's see. I don't know where I can go from there on that one. Jacob, what do you think? Nothing. Couldn't tell me. Well, Dave, what do you have going on this morning then?
Well, what I have going on is really not of a whole lot of interest to listeners as they listen in, but, you know, just kind of post-election fallout. The president spoke to us for 4 minutes short of a record of a post-election press conference, actually 4 minutes short of any press conference ever of a record.
Right.
He had a lot to say, or at least he took a long time to say it. I'm not sure which it would be.
Right.
So kind of, you know, it was interesting listening to him there. A lot of wah, wah, wah going on.
Right.
So that's kind of where I was at yesterday, watching that.
I see. Still trying to recover from the multitasking in the dairy farm smack this morning.
Oh, well, it was no smack. It was just you said, you know, do you miss the days when you had just one thing to do?
Right.
I don't know what that would be like.
Wow. Well, tell us about it. How bad is it?
How bad is what?
How bad is it that you have all these things to do?
Just what I do. It's what I do for a living. I'm just trying to get caught up.
Well, I mean, if you need me to yap by myself, I can do that.
No, I'm good. I was just waiting for you to take the lead. What you want to talk about here this morning? Now we're, you know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes into it.
Yeah. Still trying to recover from this one. All right, let's take a look at some of the news of the day here at 580KIDO.
That's good. That'd be a good thing to do.
Okay, Dave, let me talk. At 580KIDO, phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO, big news concerning A-Rod.
What Alex Rodriguez has said in public about performance-enhancing drugs is what he admitted in 2009.
I experimented with a banned substance that eventually triggered a positive test.
What Rodriguez has told the feds in private, reportedly, is an altogether different story. According to the Miami Herald, Rodriguez sat down with federal agents and confessed that he had used banned substances from late 2010 to October 2012. Confessed after being granted immunity. The drugs were provided by Anthony Bosch, who ran Biogenesis, the clinic at the heart of baseball's drug scandal. Amid the new revelations, Rodriguez is back on the Yankee roster, his suspension now at an end. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
There we have it from Bill Vitka, and people are saying that
A-Rod should play. What's the big deal? He broke the rules. But the rules are the rules, and it's kind of interesting when you have somebody like Johnny Manziel. We're switching a little gears here from baseball to football, but you have Johnny Manziel, who broke the rules, didn't get punished. You have a kid, Todd Gurley, broke the rules, didn't get punished, kind of got punished. He's in, he's out. And then you have what's going on with Roger Goodell yesterday. Here you have the NFL commissioner being treated like he smacked around Ray Rice and his wife. And we have this uber accountability when it comes to Goodell and Ray Rice. How dare he be wronged? And yet A-Rod continually lies. A-Rod continually do these things, and we should just all forgive him. It just makes me wonder. It makes me wonder, you know, where are the consequences for one's actions? And do we wonder why kids today have a different outlook on life? That seems to be the big thing. But getting back to A-Rod confessing, how big a news is this? When we take a look at Major League Baseball, most kids today are not into baseball. Most kids today just kind of do their own thing. Most kids today just kind of look at basketball or football or any of the other matters. And I just wonder, when I take a look at A-Rod, how big of an issue this is going to be coming back to the Yankees. They don't want him. And here's a guy that continues to lie, made a lot of money. And people say, well, is there anything redeeming about A-Rod? And I will tell you this. There was a young man by the name of John Challis who was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He had terminal cancer. He wanted to go to his prom. The local TV station picked up on it. He started the John Challis Society. And I believe that he wouldn't be 13. He would be 17 or 18. When he was getting ready to go to the prom, and I had him on the radio. And we are so inundated these days when we're taking a look at Twitter and Facebook and everything else. And it wasn't as big as it is now. And here you have this young man that all he wanted to do before he died was go to the prom. And all he ever wanted to do before he moved on was go see a Pirates game. So the Pirates did their own thing. They invited him. Big, huge news of the day. A-Rod found out about it when he was dating Madonna. Invited John Challis to New York and said, I'd like you to hang out with me for a day. Didn't tell anybody. We found out about 3 or 4 days later. Later, young John Challis died, and we had his dad on, and he said, you know, thank you for all you did. And I'm thinking, as big of a jerk as everybody thinks that A-Rod is, Dave Burnett, here he helped this young man. So on one hand, you have A-Rod being a cheater, a liar, and all these things. And on the other hand, you have him helping this young kid that nobody knows about.
I don't think A-Rod's a bad person. I mean, really? A-Rod is a $28 million a year business, or more. That's his baseball salary. And I think he did what he did to try to protect that cash. I don't think deep down he's a bad person. I think he's done some bad things. But I think probably he's an okay person. Otherwise, no one would want to do anything with him. Don't you think?
But then Yankees don't want him back.
Well, sure, he's a press nightmare for him. See, again, it's about the business. It's a press nightmare to have A-Rod on your roster.
And yet, he doesn't want to give up. He wants to come back. He wants to keep going.
Wouldn't you for $28 million a year?
I got to tell you, if I made my money, I don't think that I would.
I think you'd walk away from $28 million?
Bill O'Reilly has a great theory on life. And the theory is, how much is too much? And I guess he keeps making his money. But, you know, how much is too much? He compares Mitt Romney's dad, who... they offered him $10 million back in the late 60s to run American Motors Company, the old AMC. And then he decided he only needed $2 million. So, nope, that's too much. I think for me, if someone said, hey, here's an amount of money, your bills are paid, you're good to go, I'm not greedy.
Well, I wonder how much Bill O'Reilly works for. How much is too much, Bill?
In defense of Bill O'Reilly, all those charitable items that he has, all those shirts, all those everything else, mm-hmm. it's donated to charity.
Tax write-off.
He doesn't make any money on it.
But does he do it for tax shelter?
I have to think that he does it for the charities.
I would hope so.
And I think that's the issue that you have here when you're talking about how much is too much. If you had $10 million in the bank, would you work again for another $10 million?
It depends if I liked what I did and was getting paid for. And that's for a lot of these professional athletes. They like what they do, and they like the fact they get paid big bucks to do it.
Right.
So, you know, if I was digging sewer ditches and making $1 million a year, would I want to do it again for another million? If I could live, probably not, because, and no offense to anyone to dig sewer ditches, but, you know, there are things that people do for a living that if they just really don't like it, they won't go back and do it again. But if you really like what you do, you'll do it again for the same money, don't you think?
I think that life is too short, and I don't know a lot of people that would continue on doing it besides the people that are motivated by money. If you're motivated by living a good life, if you're doing something, I think life is too short.
Because there's people who would kill to make what I make. But yet I would look up and go, man, I wish I made what, you know, Kevin Miller made and have somebody drive me around in a stretch limo. So everyone looks up to somebody else who's got a little more than them and think, but I can just get that.
I don't do that.
Don't you?
No.
You've never done that? You're a very, very unique person.
You know something? I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with people each and every day. Do we have financial needs? Yeah. But you know something? You go out and you get another job or you get two jobs. And you know something? I might just do that if I want to be more financially stable. And that's just how it is. But that's me. And I could tell you this, that if I had the opportunity right now, and I think most Americans would agree, as much as I love this, that you have to sit back and say what's important. Is it time with your loved ones? Or is it getting up at such and such an hour? There are so many people, and I was touched by them, that came by, my buddy Frank, a security guard Mike, Nolan, that work hard, that if they had the opportunity to live with their spouses, to do their own thing, I think they would. In fact, the generation, the millennials, they have it right to a degree. They don't let things like jobs and careers get in the way of living their life and hanging with their kids. How many times have we heard in life, you know, if I had just worked that extra hour? Because in the end, the corporation perhaps doesn't care. They'll move on. They have to. But your wife, your kids, your friends, they don't get that time back. And it's taken me 46 years to realize that. 46 years, heck, I still haven't recovered from sleeping an hour and a half yesterday. And I had a lot of things to do. But I will say this candidly to everyone listening at 580KIDO. There's some issues concerning my health that I have to address. And if I spent the rest of the day going over medical tests to make sure that I was going to be okay to make it today. So, yes, when it comes to, you know, priorities, you have to put things in perspective. Case in point, when I did the walk from Haley to Boise, one of the most humbling moments in my life was 3 days afterwards. My limbs were swelled up. I couldn't move, and I'm in a primary care, and you're very familiar with this story, Dave Burnett, and they tell me, you can't leave. So you have that great realization in life that you think to yourself, I've done all this. Maybe I've gotten accolades. Maybe you have a ton of money and you don't have your health. And in the end, you wonder, what was it for? You know, how many people are struggling with illness and injury? I had someone that was very close to me, I was hanging out with her at a wedding. She had fought cancer, had beaten cancer. Was a very vivacious young lady, and she kept asking me questions. And I said, well, what are you talking about? What's with the questions? And she looks at me and says, I don't have much time left. I didn't believe her. 2 months later, she was dead. You know, we never know what we have till it's gone. You know, how many times have we taken people for granted? We do it every day, you know?
True is.
You know, the unfortunately, the bill collectors don't seem to care.
No, that's, they don't.
You know, and, you know, this, you know, going back to the point that we started out with the election coverage and everything else, I mean, will the Republicans repeal Obamacare? Probably not. Will the reforms make it worse? I've been hanging out with Petso too much. But you've lectured me about this all the time, and now I'm experiencing it. The health administration, man, somebody doesn't like you or somebody doesn't relate to you. They mark one checkbox, and all of a sudden, you're dealing with insurance companies all day.
Oh, that's fun.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
So when we it's great that we have the big victory laps and the president's pouting and everything else, but in the end, you know, is it going to get better? I mean, you pay good money for your insurance every week or every month. And then you think, well, that's not covered. Well, why isn't it covered? Well, because Billy said this. Oh, Billy made a mistake. Really? When I get a mistake, I get yelled at. But I should give Billy the benefit of the doubt? And they're a lot smarter than I am? Well, you know, Billy's really qualified. Oh, well, what if I don't have confidence in their qualifications? Well, there you have it.
You sound like a man who's been dealing with insurance companies.
Yeah, insurance companies and hospitals, yeah.
Gotta like that.
Well, you see, you thought you had issues.
No, I have no issues.
But it comes down to perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. It comes down to the idea of what's important. You are very focused on your family. You have your priorities in the right place. I, for 46 years of my life, have lived a very selfish life. It has been all about this. And when you get that big hiccup, people, you know, hopefully course correct.
Well, there are things that open our eyes in life, isn't there?
You get something, never mind.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin Miller, by the way, you're at Capital High School? Bora
is
Capital last week, wasn't it? Bora High School. So looking forward to that. Fun things in store with the Bora Lions today. Did you wear your Oregon gear?
No, I, if you go to our Facebook site, not 580KIDO, but KIDO in Boise, you'll see me in front of the big lion mural, and I'm acting like a lion.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because if you were in green and yellow, you're in good shape and bored today.
The story of my life, I'm wearing blue and white, the station colors.
Oh, man, they're going to get you there. Kevin, your traffic.